Blog Talk Radio.
About to bring the power of power for the show. Well, Father, by
reading, to the fear, you have to take an official class.
Well, rising up.
Yeah. Who it is?
House of the Redeemed Servant.
Shabba with Shabba Raka Tha.
Hey, come on, Mark. Yeah, Baraka, Kaya, Hawa, Bashama, Mashiaki, Hawa, Shah.
What's up, huh?
Yo, Jeremiah.
Yeah.
It's cracking, huh?
Yah, Bashim, Yahwa, Shah, Baraka, Tha.
Yeah.
Kwam, Yah, Shirala. Give it all praise to the Abanawa, Yahwa, Bashama, Mashiaki, Hawa, Shah.
Shama, Mashiaki, Hawa, Shah.
Jeremiah.
Hold up.
Please say to Yah.
Got that boy, Baraka's out with me.
Please say
to Yah. House of Redeemed Servant.
Are you ready for the race, boys?
Let's get it.
Bring it on.
Hebrews are coming, Hebrews are coming, yeah. Hebrews are coming, Hebrews are coming, yeah. 100,000, 44,000. Hebrews are coming, Hebrews are coming, yeah. Hebrews are coming, Hebrews are coming, yeah. 100,000, 44,000. We ain't playing, yeah, standing on these corners, yeah.
What?
We taking games, yeah, put them in the Bible, yeah. Ezekiel 37, greatest seed in army, yeah. Come see what we about, we'll change your route, we moving out. You my battle line, and weapons of war, what you waiting here for? Come see what the hell you're facing, with D, he'll break the nation. Sounds like a little revelation, heard players come in 1 hour. Utterly burnt, we will devour, the hour shot, who's the power? As you can see, you ain't dealing with no monkeys. We want our money, you gon' pay us for slavery. We mad as hell, but we ain't take no apologies. You say you're sorry, just go get out that money. Reparations, boy, we want our reparations. Separation, boy, we want our separation. We want our own flag, we gonna get our own flag. But keep your damn sin, just keep all of your damn sin.
Hebrews are coming, Hebrews are coming, yeah. Hebrews are coming, Hebrews are coming, yeah. 100,000, 44,000. Hebrews are coming, Hebrews are coming, yeah. Hebrews are coming, Hebrews are coming, yeah. 100,000, 44,000.
Sit down or lay down. Be about it or be without it. Cut a sin or cut it out. Y'all should all on the come now. We woke up, y'all so stuck in. We got next on this Exodus, and it's a good feel, and I'm with the killer. Give me the Edomite, I'm a whip the feeling. What you talking about? I wish I was soft for something, he's an awful something. You got a beat coming, ain't no sweet love. In fact, run to hell that 144,000 whips on your back. And the slain of the Lord,
mine enemies,
they shall be me.
Not that I should reign over them, bring him hither, and slay them before me.
Their lives are worth
all nations are
less
nothing
than a penny.
Bless
and
me,
there's no reason.
Hey, mister, dropping the vessel, nobody's gonna miss you. The earth is in mourning, your life is the issue. A rapist and murderer, stealer of lands, and all of these sins by the white man's
hey, man,
hands.
I'm smiling now while I'm reading about us stomping out y'all infants, the Africans and the Arabs in it. This is what's called recompense. We sentiments while we tucking in our children for the advance. I'm sorry, got a problem.
We want our own flag, we're gonna get our own flag. We want our own land, we're gonna get our own land. But keep your hands, keep all of your hands. Keep your hands, keep all of your hands.
Now, I don't care whether you clap or not, but I'm saying to you.
We got next.
Hebrews are coming, Hebrews are coming, yeah. Hebrews are coming, Hebrews are coming, yeah. 100,000, 44,000.
The Hebrews are coming. We take this thing too serious, and you Gentiles better start running. That 144 not bluffing, you claim you wasn't responsible for those dozens of millions, but that's not optional. You stole our land and took us by billions and put us on the boat to the ceiling. I'm about to pop my top cause I'm feeling, hope that I'm worthy enough and I'm willing. He can put the sword on my hand and I'm killing. Blackjack dealer, I'm dealing. Ain't no member yet, and I hope you remember that. But I got a vest, untouchable at Elliot Ness. We got a garment down to the foot, breastplate on the chest. With a girdle on, trying to help set the people that the Gentiles running on. As a matter of fact, they got a trap in the shop in the house like Home Alone.
That's right.
Nowadays, everybody want to talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when I salt with the Hebrews. Just hold on, we going home.
Who is our Redeemer, who is our Deliverer, who is our Savior, who is our Commander, who is our General of the nation of Israel.
Hebrews are coming. Hebrews are coming, yeah. Hebrews are coming.
Basically,
takes a topic, and we really just got to kind of go and discuss that topic. We also leave it open Sundays for also Nagaya and Mashabadam as far as if there are certain things that they like to go over on Sundays with the young men, then that is still opened up to them. So I decided on Fridays and go ahead and start teaching class. So that's going to be my goal, the most high's will, is to now start doing the Friday night classes so we can start taking a topic, going to that topic, and hit it up. So tonight we're going to go over charity. That's what we're going to work on. We're going to work on the definition of charity and then showing how important it is to the Father that we look out for each other, how important it is to the Father that, you know, that love is there, that we are always considering in anything that I'm doing, I'm considering the well-being or the condition of the person that I'm with, the brother or sister that's in Israel, our people in general, or how we deal with them, how we treat, you know what I'm saying, the selfishness that we fight to stay away from. And that's one big thing that's out here that has been helping. And what it is we've been trying to accomplish is to be able to function out here day to day alone. And we're in a world that, from COVID to everything that's going on, the one thing is promoting a lot of is us being alone and not having someone there to have my back, not having someone there to look out for what it is, my needs. Having somebody, if I do, like scripture say, two are better than one, because if one falls, the other's able to pick him up. So we want to be able to now go into this and really understand that this is something that truly is pleasing in the eyes of the Father. And the first scripture I'm going to read on this is Baruch chapter 4 and verse 4, right? I'm going to read it. And I have Shaw with me up here. Rajan, Kaban is here. As we wait for the other brothers to come in. But I'm going to go to Baruch. And until they get situated, and I get them back up, I'm going to read. But right now is Baruch chapter 4. And what it says is, O Israel, happy are we, for things that are pleasing to the Most High are made known unto us. And the honor in reading it is the fact that the fact that we have the truth, his wisdom, his knowledge and understanding, the things that we learn how to please the Most High, that's where our joy is in. Our joy and our happiness comes from the fact that we understand how to please the Father. And the more that I understand how to please the Father, he said, that's where that happiness comes from. Be of good cheer, my people, the memorial of Israel. So the thing that we should be pleased about is the fact that through everything that we're doing, through everything that we're being shown and being taught, the more I learn to please the Most High, as I watch my life improve, because the Father's blessing, but he's blessing me because the things I'm learning how to please him. So we're going to continue, because that is the base of what I want to build this class around. The more we learn to please the Father, we start watching the doors opening up for us. We start watching things come to us that we really didn't deserve. We watch things work out. It's like the scriptures tell you about lay up treasures in heaven. And that is what we do every day. Work on that account with the Father. So as things are happening in our life that are not in my control, I was working on my righteousness and being right with the Father and pleasing the Father. So when I need him to come through, he come through. But I want somebody to find that there too, man. It's that, but most I tell you about stir up treasures in heaven. It's in the Gospels of the New Testament, right? In the New Testament, it says you've got stored up treasures in heaven.
Matthew 6, verse 19.
Let's sit down. So I will start. That's it. So we will start at verse 19. We go 19, verse 10. And then verse 21, right? Whoever's reading, for the sake of the blog talk, we got to read. Somebody got to read this in the mic a little bit so we hear it clearly. And I want y'all participation, but also that way I can get a clear reader. They can hear from the mic clearly too. Until we start getting the police, come up here. That'll work. The more readers, the better. Come on, man. Yeah, we gonna do that. We'll get them come up and read, man. So we get some class participation. Read that. Matthew 6:19.
Matthew 6:19. Lay not up yourselves treasures upon the earth.
You said lay not treasures where?
Upon the earth.
So I like when we go into this because for one reason we sometimes think that from the car I got to the home I got to the money in my bank account to my credit score and everything else, I start to think that is my key to the stable family around, the big home, the big cars, my job security, being able to be my own business owner. I start to believe that in that foolishness that is me and that is the thing I'm supposed to be developing, my 401k plan, my retirement plan. I'll start to think that is going to be a treasure. I'll think that is something that I'm supposed to pass down to my children. I'm supposed to build my legacy and my success so that we like the Hiltons. So even when parents them have kids, they'll have so much money, they don't have Hilton money. The father told us don't do that. He said don't lay up treasures on the earth. Why not? Read on.
Where moth and rust doth corrupt.
He said because all them Hilton buildings, rust, moths eat paper. So even the money you're trying to stir up and save up is something that you can't take with you, and it's something that is easily destroyed. And everything that we do, everything that we invest in here, and we think that's a sign of our success, the father's like, that's easily destroyed. I can buy a $50,000 car, but you know what happens? Every time I drive that car, it depreciates. Right? I can go out and get a $500,000 home. But every time I'm living in it, things are breaking down. It's just depreciating. That's why the scriptures talk about the most. Christ is telling them, don't invest in the things on the earth because the only thing that those things on the earth do is depreciate their value. They lose their worth. It's all temporary. Matthew 6:19. What we read. So we're showing that for the things that we would look at and hold in high regard, and we watch our people and the things that they out here strive to bust their butt and give their whole life. I'm going this route because I was at a meeting this morning, right? With investors, some guys that, you know, they out putting it together trying to make money, right? Great ideas. But what got me was I'm like, man, these guys have great ideas. These dudes is out here figuring out how to go into the banks to get money. But I'm looking at them and I'm like, y'all are old men. So you now in your 50s, with the time that you're supposed to be retiring, everything that you've invested in had a hole in it. It was corrupted. It rusted. It decayed. It fell apart. So the things that you invested in for the last 10, 20 years, all they did was decay. Like everything on this earth, if I make it my life, the fact that I was working on a big home or nice cars or stable stability, a stable income, the father's like, all these things only end up doing one thing. It depreciates. That's it. It's going to always lose value. For us, we're going to finish the scripture, then we're going to go to Baruch chapter 4, verse 4, okay? Go ahead.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lean not upon yourselves treasures upon the earth.
Go ahead.
Where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal.
Look what it said, everything on the earth. That's what's happening. You got people that have been saving up. They got all they was working. They saved up. 401k plan, all that, they saved up money. And then when I'm not all the way in my mind, some businessman, some slick talker came and said, man, I got some land over here, and or you can invest in timeshares and all these different things. And I took my money, and I invested, and it didn't work out. What just happened to me? A thief took it, like the Most High said was going to happen. Right, you, that was a good chunk of your life that you put this treasure together, and it did nothing but dwindle because the Father's, Christ is trying to tell them then, that's not the treasure. That will come and go. Money will come and go. Business will come and go. Land will come and go. So he's saying, that's not your treasure. Because anything that I invested on this earth, the only thing that's going to happen to it is going to depreciate. It's going to decay. It's going to be taken. Drive off the lot, that new car, you're like, oh, this thing is about a year and a half in, and you got the issues happening to it. You're like, it was cool when I got it. Now it's all right. How do you make yourself feel better? I didn't even get a new car, like everybody else, or it'd be a relationship, man. We was in this, man. I first started out, it was honeymoon days. It was just beautiful. And I'm like, okay, so we just lived. We there existed. Because I made that my treasure. And the Father was like, that's not what you're supposed to make your treasure. That brand new home. Oh, yeah. Open the doors. You smell that new paint. You're going to get you a big TV. You're going to get the new furniture. You got it looking good. About 2 or 3 years, you're like, okay, I got to fix the radiator, the heater don't work, the paint getting dusty, the carpet got stains, and people walk in their shoes, there's a big brown spot right in the middle. The house doesn't have the luster and the appeal that it did when I first got it. The car don't have the same luster and appeal when I first got it. Because the Father's trying to show us all these things. Well, Christ, the Bible, is trying to show us that all these things only will decay. They're not built to last. They're materialistic. It's temporary. That's what, when you get the phrase materialistic, it was only temporary. It was something to use for that moment. But that's not the true treasure. So the Father's trying to show us, okay, what is, and he's going to show us, what is our true treasure? Because that's what we're going to learn. We're going to really learn what is pleasing to the Father. And now when I build that treasure, I understand, I learn to do the things that please the Father, because that was the true treasure.
Huh? 6 verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, I'm sorry, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will be your there your heart will be also.
And you know that. You can tell the most I look at, the most I know where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. So if I look at the 401k and the big home and the relationships and the new cars and all these different things, if I look at that as my treasure, the most I know it, because that's where my mind is always. I'm always, my mind is there. I'm always trying to work on getting these things. Because I think, and we've gotten good with the truth. You're saying, man, money is a defense. The Most High say he loaded us with, he gave us with benefits. So we look at this. This is the reason why I need this. Nothing wrong with having it. But you can't bank on it. That's the problem. I can have the car, but the car is only as good as it's running. So if I bank on that and it stops running, you got a pretty shiny thing sitting in your yard. That's it. Yeah. So I saved up. I saved $50,000. I went and bought that car. I bought a Cadillac Escalade. But when it broke down, that's all it is. It's a ornament in your yard. And for all this time, right? And all this time, you got people that have worked. They love, and they've invested. I mean, they invested in. They said, "Man, I got my own home. I live up here. I got a big, beautiful, big house." But I finally paid it off. I had a 30-year mortgage. I finally paid this off. Now, I don't got to make a mortgage payment no more. I'm going to save this money. Now I can save this money. Yeah, I got to pay property tax. Then if it ain't that, now just when the mortgage is done, so is the retirement. I bought this house when I was about in my 30s. Now that I paid it off, I'm about 60. So by the time I paid it off, I'm retiring. I got no more income coming in. I'm on a fixed income. So I go and borrow against the house. Now I'm back. And I don't have a real income coming in. The father's trying to show you it's a setup for all the things that we invest in. This is not a treasure. It's a resource. And if I look at it as a resource, that's all it is. If the car was a resource, this is A to B is how I get around. This home is not a treasure. This is the place that keeps the rain falling on me. So you have to look at what is the understanding we're getting to now. Our treasure's got to be, it's got to have sustenance. Meaning, when I'm at my worst, this will come through for me. When I'm at the baddest parts of my life, this will come through for me. When I have no other answers and no other avenues, this is going to come through for me. That's a real treasure. I can cash in on this. You know what I'm saying? Like you got a lot of people live their life now. That 401k, they're like, man. The stocks, the 401k, I'm like, man, I know that. When I'm done, I get to cash in on this. We're supposed to take the same approach when it comes to the Father. At the end of this, if I do this right, if I do this pleasing to the Father, when I need him, I can cash in. Because this is where he told me to lay up my treasure. Right? Read that again.
Verse 20. But lay up yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal.
And you know the problem I'm looking at? We lay up treasures on earth because the problem is we don't know how to lay up a treasure in heaven. I don't truly know how to build an account with the, so when it's time for me to call on him or pray to him, I get the help that I needed. We got people coming from religion that we thought I could live any way I want to live. I could go out here and do all the anything I want to do. And it's just if I accept the Lord in my heart and I pray to him, he's going to come through for me. Father's like, nah, you have to build that account. You have to build that account. And that's what we're going to work on this class tonight. The class is going to be focused on how do I build that account with the Father so that now when I have to go to him for things that I need, I know that he's going to be there for me because I was focused on doing the things that pleased him. So the next scripture, the next brother is going to go to Baruch chapter 4. Baruch chapter 4. And we're going to read verse 4, we're going to start at verse 1.
Baruch chapter 4 and verse 1.
You're going to look at some of them. So you ain't got to yell. Oh, sorry, I'll read to you. Read that.
Baruch chapter 4 and verse 1. This is the book of the commandments of the Most High. Forever.
And everything on the earth is temporary. And we got to now start to process that in my mind. The things that we inspire and get up every day to work for, the Father said, you know what? You're gonna be in a rut in your life. I worked and I got the call. The car broke down. I worked and I sacrificed. I was trying to live right to get the right girl. I changed for a relationship. I was like, okay, it's not guaranteed that relationship will stay there. I saved and I sacrificed for this car. One accident is gone. So the Father's like, that's not guaranteed to stay there. But what is the one thing that we know that is guaranteed to be there? Read that again.
Baruch chapter 4, verse 1. This is the book of the commandments of the Most High, and the law that endures forever. All they that keep it shall come to life.
He said, all they that do what?
Keep it shall come to life.
So all they that keep the commandments of the Father, he said, those ones will come to life. That means you know you're already alive because you're living, right? But he said, if you keep the commandments, he said, you are going to come to life. You're going to start watching the Father. You're going to start watching a relationship between you and the Father develop. It truly developed was like, man, wow, this problem happened. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. And all of a sudden, the Most High, like, he had a discomfort. He's like, oh, it's the water you hollow. You know what I'm saying? Or this went on. Well, I don't know where I'm going to get this at. I don't know how this is going to work out. The Father had to work out. He's like, I don't know where that came from. There is a relationship that is going to be developed between you and the Father. That is the life he's talking about because I've been keeping the commandments of the Father.
As leave it shall die.
He said, but such that leave it, if I leave the book, I'm going to die. That account and that relationship that I was building with the Father, I'm not going to have it. It ain't going to be there. It's going to dwindle away. And the Father, we watch it every day. We watch people do the Most High bless them or something, and they be so caught up in the blessing and not looking at who blessed you. How did you come about that? I'm not processing that. I'm not thinking about that. What am I thinking about? Just what I got. Like a kid does. You know what I'm saying? Jump into that. Small kids do that. Give them a rattle. They're like, ooh, yeah. Ooh, a toy. Then what do you do with the toy break? Oh, what happened? They cry because the toy broke. Right. Then you know what's crazy? When you teach them as they grow, you teach them, I gave you this. So now, if you please me, if you do what I tell you to do and you live right, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep fixing the toy or I'm going to keep buying you another one. That's that kid that's spoiled and he have a room full of damn toys. That's the one the parents say, oh, he's a good kid. Oh, he's a good kid. Okay, do this. I keep giving because he's a good kid, right? Then it's like, you know, back in. You ain't got no toys in the room. You're like, no, you broke it? Shit, you ass up. you know what? Did you take care of your toys? You don't get, you know what? Let's work on this, spit out, we're going to fix it. They don't do that. The Most High is the same way. The Father's like, you know what? If you live and you please me, he said, you're going to come to life. I'll be there for you. In everything you go through, I'll be there for you. Because you may please me. the focus, not the toy, but the action. But I went and I figured out who given the toy. It's like you have all children mature differently, right? Some kids be looking and they caught up on a toy. Some kids understand if I do this, you'll give me that. Oh, okay. All right. It's like somebody saying, well, if you get good grades, I'll buy you this. You want some new shoes? Get an A.
Earned it.
Okay. You turn that A, then I got me some shoes. Oh, that's how it works. Got them hard-headed kids. I want the shoes, but I got an F. I want the shoes, but I don't want to work more. You see what I'm saying? I don't want to work, but I want the F.
You know,
I got an F. I wanted to watch TV. I don't want to do the homework. But, you know, I'll be pissed off. I'm pissed off when I see that other child with what? Them shoes.
Yeah.
Or whatever the reward was. Well, I go ahead and I learn to please the person who gives the reward. I'm going to keep getting the reward. That is when you truly start to come to light. When I can start processing, this is how the reward is given. Not focused on just the reward. Because if I keep focusing on what I think is the treasure, every time I lose it, every time it falls apart, everything else, I'm without it. If I give my mind to the one who gives it, then I can always do one. If this break, get another one. I'm not worried about it. Because I wasn't focused on that anyway. I was focused on this right here. I was working on that relationship with me and the Father so that he would always be doing this. He would always provide. He would always give because that was the focus. So I have to process and understand. The Father said, if you keep the Book of the Commandments, he said, you're going to live. This is when you start to come to life. This is when you start watching yourself get blessed. He said, but if you leave it, you're surely going to die. You're going to deal with a lot of loss. Because all the little treasures I was giving you, they start breaking. They start falling apart. They start depreciating. They get old. They don't work no more. Now all of a sudden it ain't a treasure. John said? Read on.
Verse 2. Turn thee, O Jacob, and take hold of it. Walk in the presence of the light thereof.
See?
That thou mayest be illuminated.
So what's going to always make me shine?
Walking in
the commandments. But he can talk about this. We know we ain't talking about walking around glowing. We ain't seen a glowing person yet. I don't care how many scriptures. Yeah, we can read all day long. You look in the mirror, you still ain't shining. You still like the same old boat. The shine you're talking about is, you listen, that joy is there. The happiness is there. That person is always positive because I was doing it this way, and they always seem to come up. Like you said, you shining like the light like that. You know what? You always come up, right? How did you work out of it? How did that get resolved? How did you get blessed here? I was focused on the commandments. I was in this book learning more and more how to have that connection between me and the Father. So the treasures that the things that I need, the Father open up and bless. The type of relationship I want, the Father open that up and bless it. Because I focused on that relationship between me and him, not the treasure that he gave. She was a treasure. She got until all of a sudden we fighting all the time and everything else. And you're like, okay, if this is treasure, I'm trying to. Okay, we ain't shining no more. This ain't fun. This ain't no good. The Father looked at it and said, "You paid more attention to thinking your hand." Instead of paying attention to who is giving you all these things. So when I start doing this, if I'm stripping more of it, and stripping this, and making it harder, and everything else, all I'm doing is showing you what you're chasing. your treasures on earth. And the more your treasures on earth, the only thing that's going to happen is it's going to decay. Somebody going to come in and take it. Because that's what you made your treasure. So I'm setting myself up for failure. I'm setting myself up for loss because I'm making this my treasure and not that relationship with the Father my treasure. You know what I'm saying? Read on.
Walk in the presence of the light thereof, that thou mayest be illuminated.
Verse 3.
Give not thine honor to another. Give not thine honor to another.
What would be your honor? The relationship that I'm supposed to have with the Father, I'm giving that to someone else. Thing that, like we were talking last night, there are certain things that you do, and it's an element or an environment that you operate the best. That is the one that you're most confident in and everything else. I'm more neat, I'm stronger, I'm more confident when I operate a certain way. It's like some people in the gym. They're in the gym, they're more confident and outgoing than everybody else when they're in the gym. They feel good about themselves. Some people would just be in class. And it is like, man, when I'm in this book and I'm living right in the Most High, there's a confidence to me. But now on making the relationship that I'm doing out here or the things that I'm trying to possess, I'm letting that be where my honor is built. You're giving your life, your dedication, your attention to something else, to another. Where the Most High said that is supposed to be given to him. Read that again.
Verse 3. Give not thine honor to another.
Read on.
Nor the things that are profitable unto thee to a strange nation.
He said, nor the things that are profitable unto thee to a strange what?
Nation.
So what is it that we have that is profitable to us?
The word.
Right. Our relationship with the Father, the word, our relationship with the Father, that is what's profitable to us. This don't work for everybody, huh? It don't work for them. You look at, let's take some simple as lending, extortion. Less than lending, I was like, man, when banks, interest, it's profitable to them. When we try to do it, the Most High do what? He cursed that. He told you ain't supposed to do it. So for them, for something that in the eyes of the Father would be wrong, they prosper from it. Listen, drug sales. When you look at our people, cocaine or weed, you watch cast of them. Been in the jungle growing cocaine, growing weed, and they got to smuggle it over and run the risk of going to jail. And then you on the street corner with a dime bag of weed, and you either with the juvie or you with the jail over a nickel bag of weed.
Well, the government can make those, like pills or,
right.
Or anything, vaccines, however, whatever
they make. These dudes is making vaccines that's murdering people. And it's okay if we sell some cocaine and dude's heart stop, or we sell some crystal meth or some dope shit like that, something we made, and it kill them, that's a murder charge for us. Mm-hmm. That's prison time for us. But for him to go make it a drug that destroy people, kill them, that's FDA approved. It's profitable for him. But, and I can tell you that. But then you got to come to a doctor, and the doctor says, you know what? You'll be okay. You'll be okay here. Oh, his heart stopped. We got to go tell the family he died, man. It's around in bed. We move on. But there was no charges. There was no nothing. You don't want to prescribe the medicine that killed them, but you're going about your life. Well, if I do that, I'm a criminal. But the Most High's not saying, oh, that's not justice. Most High, like, I never told you to be, I never told you to worship that in the first place. Because that arena, the Father's trying to show us their world is profitable for them. Profitable for us is that relationship between us and the Father. So no matter what I give myself to, the end result to that is going to be loss or failure or death to me, because the Father is trying to tell me, show me, that's not your power source. Your power source is me and you. Their power source is the world. That's why it's profitable for them. They can live in it, operate, and things work out. That's no different than these dudes make their rap career going. They got on dresses, got their rap career going, smoking all the weed, had it from the neck down, and they make it a money. It's profitable for them. They ain't making it to the kingdom, but it's profitable for them. It's temporary. They only going to have that until the Most High decided to take that person. Now, we got to read that story, the rich man and Lazarus. You got to be the rich man, Lazarus, and the poor man, it did what? He ended up in Abraham's bosom. That rich man that had all the, everything that was there, all the riches, all the wealth, he ended up in that lake of fire. He had the money, but when he was living this life, doing whatever he wanted to do, operate any way he wanted, he got his reward. That's it. So you almost got to look at it. Do I want to enjoy it now, suffer later? Or am I going to be wise enough to, I'll suffer now and live right to only come back and enjoy later? That is life. Following this world is up for death. And that's what the Father is going to continue to show us. So we're going to keep reading on. What verse you at? Verse 4.
O Israel, happy are we for things that are pleasing to the Most High.
He said, it's happy. Now we understand why he said, O Israel, happy are you. He said, for the things that are pleasing to the Most High are what?
Made known unto you.
These are what's made known to you. All the secrets to success, all the secrets, the real success, the Father said, I'll make it known to you. You want to succeed? I'm going to make it known to you. You want to watch yourself continue to shine? I mean, just say it. I'm going to make it known to you. Read on.
Verse 5, be good cheer,
read on.
My people.
Be of good cheer.
Be of good cheer, my people.
Uh-huh.
The memorial of Israel.
Read.
Ye were sold to the nations, not for your destruction.
He said, and we look at that in Deuteronomy 28. We read Deuteronomy 28 and all the curses that the Most High put Israel under. He said, I sold you to the nations. I put you in this condition that you're in. Everything that you've gone through in your life, the Most High, like, I didn't have you go through that for your destruction. This is never about destroying us. This is about edification. We needed the seed. We needed the belt to be able to see, hold on, this is wrong. This, the life that you fight to get involved in, the thing you want to give yourself to, he said, I didn't. You're going to be destroyed. It's going to destroy you, but I didn't put you there for your destruction. You were sold to the nations, not for your destruction. Read on.
But because ye moved the Most High to wrath.
You moved me to what?
To wrath.
He said, I didn't put you there to destroy you. You in the condition that you're in, because the things you've been doing, you pissed the Most High off. The life that you live now is based on the fact of what? Either it's good, ain't gonna take good for none of us. We still live in the captivity. When you can look, when you still at the bottom getting crumbs, and because I got a little more crumbs than you got, I swear, I'm living good. Until I go to somebody's house.
Amazing
crumbs. Well, you got crumbs, man. You got crumbs. God, we got this all reminders every day. He roll up in and he's like, and then you mad because how dare you talk to me like that? I'm a man. You're supposed to respect me. You're like, no, you crumbs. You got, if you was a man that I should be respecting, then your righteousness should elevate you. What is it about you that I'm supposed to respect? I'm only respecting you because you may be bigger than me. You walk in the house, he said, put it over there. Like, you can talk to me the way you want to talk to me. You're like, put it over there, please. That's better. You know, he was a good dude, but he said, please. When you close that door, crumb, that's a crumb, right? He said, man, can you put booties on your feet? Like your shoes is so much nastier than his shoes. Like the same ground that he just left walking on ain't the same dirt that you just left walking on. Matter of fact, you walked through his yard to get to his front door. But I want you to put booties on when you come to my house. Because you are a crumb. But we get around each other and be like, what? Well, shoot, I'm living better than this person. So I, for some reason, think I'm better. The Father looked at us like, do you even know where you came from? Like, what you had as a nation, what you guys, what real wealth was. History was written about it. That's a trip, man. We read a history that was written about a people. The whole world. We have the Bible, right? The whole world, right, is reading the people of the Bible's history. The world. It is the foundation of religion. That's wealth. When you write about a people's captivity, that's a wealthy people. When you read about where they started, how did they get the notoriety to where their life was written about? The kings that they had were written about. After, you know, even America's history, right? After the founding fathers, who else they write about? Where's Barack Obama's legacy at? Where's his chapter in American history? We learn American history now. And I'm trying to think of one of the presidents, man, like all the 30s, all the presidents, the president that had, he was the 30th president of the United States. Mm-hmm. Y'all know who that is? Yeah, we gotta go look at the book and try to figure out. And they don't even tell you about him. His name is up there. Just his name. That's it.
Really, if you look at
it, really only know like two presidents did
that. Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, Nixon. You may know Roosevelt.
You know, like FDR and all that.
Kennedy.
Yeah, Kennedy. Like that.
Oh, you don't know Kennedy because he got shot. You don't know what the hell Kennedy did. Right, but you're looking at, we're looking at. Right, so you got to, they're going to think Malcolm X is president at one point, man. That nigga more popular than the rest. You know more about him than you know about the president.
They had like 40, what is it, like 46 now? 46 presidents in the United States?
Nobody even know. What number is Trump?
45.
That's crazy. He's
45.
Bro, Trump is, Clinton is famous because he had relations. That's all you know about this dude. Trump don't be known because he was the first president to get impeached on the way out. Your ass got out today, kicked you out, to make sure you can't ever come back.
He's the second
president.
Obama's black.
That's it.
First black president.
If there's a woman president, she's just going to be the first woman president.
They don't talk about Biden. Biden, they don't talk about Biden.
Biden was just an old illiterate dude. That's, no, that's how he's going to listen.
He did.
Biden going to be the first female president.
First female vice president.
He's
also a minority.
Nobody. But when they read history,
yeah,
they ain't gonna say nothing but that. There's gonna be a little chapter that says she was the first woman minority president.
In the book, they go by chapters. It goes by either the decades or the great. Like they give a whole chapter on the Great Depression, and it goes through the presidents of that time. Now you get, like now I guess you have a whole chapter about the 2000s to the 2010s, and then going from the 20 now it's like the 2010s to the 2020s. So 2020 is like its own chapter.
I mean,
it's
that far.
But it's not gonna say anything. It's gonna say anything about American history. It's gonna show us like on a decline and Trump is president, and then 2021 on until Biden gets kicked out, it's gonna show like on even more of a decline.
And that's what I'm trying to get y'all to look at. That's the point. It's not something that's going to go down in the world. It's going to read and build their religious foundation off of this history. That is wealth. That's wealth where you can go into any country, set up and become the most educated, most civilized, the most wealthy. I went to Ethiopia. All of a sudden, from him going to Ethiopia, Haile Selassie, everything else, a whole movement started off a brother's visit that they read about in the Bible. But people have went. And like I said, I started a whole, their culture, their religious belief, everything off of a people's history. The father's trying to show us that was real wealth. So when you watch the condition that we live in, the most I look at it and said, here you crumbs. The respect that you're looking for to get that respect on a worldly level. But the only way you get true respect is the fact that your focus was the relationship between you and the Father. I don't care what these people think about me and how they look at me. You know why? Because I'm in this condition because I angered the Father. So no matter what you think, if I'm looking, Black Lives Matter, no, they don't. What should matter is the relationship with the Father. That's what's if your life mattered, if Black lives mattered, then y'all would be working on being righteous as a father. Because you would have already realized that your only way of being saved is through him. It's him. All right. We need to start making shirts that say Black Lives Matter to who? That's it. A black life only matters to the Father. The one person I'm not trying to have a relationship with is the only person your life matters to. Yeah, man. Black lives matter. I said, man, you said, is that a racial thing, man? Why do we have to be categorized? Should not life matter? If you mean what people want and you want to go in and mess with them because you got that damn sign up there, man. But you know, the truth is, life don't even matter to us. We got a sign up saying Black Lives Matter, but lives don't even matter to us. Because if life mattered, my relationship with the Father would be first and foremost. Because he's the only one that my life truly matters to. How do I know that? Give me a where it's written. Think of our love. He's talking about hate. Yep, Romans 9 is another one. Romans chapter 9. Tell me where it's at and give me the other one.
Romans 9:13.
It sounds about right. There's another one too, if you guys record. Jacob have I loved. Is that the only one?
Yeah.
Is there another one? I thought there was one in the Old Testament too. Oh, I got it. Say it out. Romans chapter 9, right? Then I want y'all to hold that one. But Romans chapter 9, whoever's reading got to stand up, come over here and read it. Another person get a, there we go. Malachi 1 and 2. Come on up.
So we've got Romans 9, come up now.
Uh-huh. There you go, man. No. Just so that the where we at? Read that. So Jacob, we know the children of Israel, the so-called Negroes, and we gonna say Israel, the so-called Negroes. Everybody on the sign back there. The Negroes, West Indians, Haitians, Dominicans, Puerto Ricans, Cubans, North American Indians. Similar Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, so-called Mexicans. He said, Jacob have I loved. Go ahead.
Esau have I hated.
So it's always throughout the Bible. It's trying to show us who our lives matter to. And constantly showing us this is who your life matters to. It matters to him. So I'm looking to get compassion and sympathy and everything else because somebody else is going to respect me. The Father, like, that's not, that you were created for them. You were created for me. You're the one I love. Let that one go. Give me the other one.
Malachi chapter 1, verse 2.
Uh-huh.
Says, I have loved you, saith the Lord.
Read that again.
I have loved you, saith the Lord.
So if the Most High saying I've loved you, he was saying, your life mattered to me. Go ahead.
Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved him?
And that's how we act. Well, Father, you ain't there. Well, when the light bill was on, you didn't come through. When I needed that big car, you didn't come through. When my woman left me, you didn't come through. When my man left me, you didn't come through. When I ended up in the hospital, you didn't come through. When this person died, you wasn't there. We look for every reason to blame the Most High or go just to living wickedly and doing things that go against the Father, because our justification is the fact that we don't believe that the Father loves us. But the Father's trying to say, you know what? Your life was the only thing that it mattered to me. What you got?
We ask for you to move on to the things to get us through what we want to do. It's like how a kid will ask for a glass, like a toilet, that's what the food like that. And parents will just say, like, give me five minutes. And that's like the Most High. If you said 5 minutes, the Most High, it's like 3 years. 3 years to us.
Right.
So while you wait on that, blessing to come, right. He really is going to say, give me 5 minutes, and then it'll come. But that 3 years, depending on how you take it, whether it's, oh, like, at first dedicated, now you're dedicated to blending. Like, no, you don't have to care no more. It's not worth it. He was like, he was 5 minutes away from you, but technically.
Yeah, I was about to give it to you, right? I was.
I'm like, I could have been 5 minutes. I gave you something, so it's 5 minutes to come back.
Now you ain't loyal to me no more. Yeah, now you ain't serving me no more. Right. So the Father looked at him like, he said, but if you wanted to know to who your life mattered to, the Father's saying, you're the one I loved. Your life mattered to me, but you know the problem is our people are looking for our lives to matter to people in the world. That never was going to happen. You were created for them. This wasn't a place that the Father said you was going to get respected. He said this was the place that I put you for your punishment because you pissed me off. That's it. And as long as you keep acting up, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to leave you a timeout. Or you want to keep acting up? No, I was just about to get you out. But you know what? Cool. Get your ass up in there then.
Like,
every
week to get up or not obey, then you come back. Oh, you don't
have my couch,
or you got
30
more minutes?
Oh, that's it. And 30 minutes to the Father's what? Yeah, 2 years. Like, 5 minutes was, yeah, the most I like, okay, well, cool. And they give you an hour. Matter of fact, you know what? I'm going to give you a day to think about yourself and your actions and what you're doing. That's 1,000 years to the Father.
30 minutes, that'd be about
18
or about close to
18 minutes. So the most I like, you know, I'm giving you a whole lot. And you watch people out there in the world get their butt whooped for a long time. So the Father been giving you time to do what? Think about your action. You need to think about what you're doing. You gotta think about, you gotta get your kids, you gotta get your priorities together, man. Don't sit down and get yourself together. That's it. I go from Walsit, I go from fucking and rest to Walsit. I let you out the Walsit, sit on the couch. As soon as I get off the couch and I'm out there Walsit, guess what I'm doing now? I'm on the couch acting up. Back to the wall. Going back to that wall. Oh, you won't front me the rest. Then if front me the rest don't do it, then the belt that came out, prison, you know what I'm saying, death row. But the Most High, like, I'm going to hit you harder because your rebellion is that way. All this whole time, the Father was like, you know what? We know that. Even in our condition, it's controlled. Just like, you know, when you spank your child. You can tell one of them whoopings where it was purely out of anger, because there ain't no control. So you got hit across the back, across the head, across the shoulder. You're like, oh, damn, you was aiming for my butt. You missed everything but my butt. I can sit down, but I can't lay down. That's one of the uncontrolled whoopings. But the Father ain't giving us that. He been giving one thing. I'm giving you a control. I'm hitting you in the same spot. Not for your destruction, because they're like any child. Every child, this is true. Every child that got whooped, you get whooped because I care about you. You got whooped because you pissed me off. Because you done got on my last nerve, and now I done lost it on you. Yeah. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. Well, you put that down, all of a sudden it's just, it's controlled, but it was still, I knew what I was aiming for. I didn't punch you, I popped you on your leg. Looking like, I bet you'll leave it alone now. The Most I do it is the same way. He's thinking, saying, hey, you know what? It's controlled, but I'm not doing it for your destruction, but you pissing me off. And if you don't keep taking it this way, then I'm going to take it this way. But that's not my intent. The intent was never to destroy. You are provoking me to anger. You're pushing them buttons. You're almost like, you're trying to get a rise out of me. But the only time I've been, this has been about a relationship and love. Your life always mattered to me. That's why when you live it right, I got your back. That treasure is there. That relationship is there when you're living right. So from there.
It says, was not Esau Jacob's brother?
Go ahead.
Saith the Lord. Yeah, I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau.
So I'm showing that love has always been there. That's the one thing that has been, is that love. for our people. But we have angered the Father, and that's the one thing that we keep doing. We don't understand that that relationship between him, that's the thing that's important. From there, real quick, one more of you will move on from this, right? Go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 2. And we're going to go slower there. Yeah, come on up. And then if you want to, you can you can get the scripture. And she can read along if you want to. You know what I'm saying? Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 2. And I like this, man, because all the things that we go on, we coming from the Bible. So everything we read, it's always that we're showing in the Bible, this is how the Father truly felt about us. This is that relationship that's always been there between us and the Father. This is what it was built on. It was always built on love. And even the person who loves you the most, they have the highest standard. They always hold you to a higher standard. I love you, and I'll raise you a certain way. You know what? You ain't say going to do. The fact that you're doing the shit you're doing, this was pissing me off the most because you know better. Because I didn't raise you like that. The Father's looking at us the same way. I put you in this condition not to destroy you. But you got to understand that the life you live in, this don't please me. This is unacceptable in his eyes. Read that.
Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2. For thou art an holy people unto the Most High.
That we were a holy people unto the Lord. Upright. We were a people that was built. We were already built on righteousness. This is what the Father had around us. The source of our wealth is how we lived, how we conducted ourselves. We're sitting here allowing ourselves to be disrespected every day and accepting it because I won't work on the thing that gave me my wealth, the thing that made me shine, the thing that always took care of me was my relationship with the Father. Read that again.
Deuteronomy 14, verse 2. But thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God.
Go ahead.
And the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself.
Read.
Above all the nations that are upon the earth.
Read.
Thou shalt not eat any abominable thing.
Go ahead.
These are the beasts which ye shall eat.
I'm only going this route. I'm not going to keep going. But what I was showing him is that, the Most High still gave us the way that we were supposed to live. And what we ain't doing, we're not in this book continuing to learn the do's and don'ts, even as we change, even as we grow on. We start to turn away from the Father instead of learning how to live right so that I can draw closer to the Father. Right. There you have. Hey, I got to say this to y'all. You got a family member that the homeless father, how long? You know you met him and he goes to it. You're gonna drink, you're gonna get disrespected, something will happen. But you know what? You know what he do. But then when he walk in the house and act like he own it, he's like, shit, I come and do what I wanna do, because you know, this is me and you just gotta accept it. He's like, not in my house, I don't. You know what? I really think it's time for you to go. Matter of fact, don't come back. The Father been looking at us the same way. Because that's the arrogance that we operate in. Like, right, I kicked you out of my house. He's like, y'all was in paradise. So I said, you started doing shit that was, I don't tolerate. You doing the things in the house I told you not to do. But the Father, look at it. The Father didn't kick us out for our destruction. He put us out for what reason? That's it. Because you pissed me off. This is the only way I can let you know that you are angering me.
No, you're ready to stop doing what you're doing. Come back.
You will be in my good graces. This is what we're supposed to be operating. And you know what's crazy? The one thing the Most High was really pushing us on was how we dealt with each other. We went through Cain and Abel one time up in here. That relationship, that was the how you're supposed to deal with your brother. It was important to the Father. It was so important that Most High cursed this man because of how he dealt with his brother. Not because of what he was growing, but because of what you did to him, that's why I cursed Jacob and Esau. Esau was cursed because of the treachery that you dealt with your brother. So when all we're looking at is charity is a big father to be looking at when I'm judging you, when I'm grading, when I'm rating your relationship with me. One thing I was gauging was what? Your relationship with your brother. The love that you show. If you can't love him, there ain't no way you can love the Father. Christ was sitting right there. In the same way I treat you, I guarantee I'll treat him the same way because that is the person I am. That ain't got nothing to do with two people in the seat. That is the person I am. You through to us? Go to Matthew real quick, right? Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. We're going to go in the middle of this class and start getting into it a little bit. Matthew chapter 22. And I'm going here because, you know, a lot of what we stand for, if you ask in this book and what we teach and what we stand for righteous living. We also stand for how we deal righteously with one another. That's a big part of who we are. That's a big part of what this Bible represents, relationship with one another. We read about so many relationships in the Bible. Conduct, choices. That's the thing that we read about in this book when we're reading. So if we're reading it, then obviously it was something that the Most High wanted us to see and how important it was to him. Matthew chapter 22, right? And verse 37.
Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul.
Father, he's going to love him with all your heart and all your soul. Meaning, every day you wake up, he's what your mind's supposed to be at.
Yeah, with all your mind.
Yeah, he's the, with all your mind, right? He is the priority of your life. That's a commandment.
This is the first and great commandment.
So, the first commandment is the Father has to be priority in my life, right? Go ahead.
Verse 39, and the second is like unto it.
And the second is just as important. Go ahead.
Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
So your neighbor, your brother, they're supposed to be a priority in your life, just like the Father is supposed to be that priority in your life. Read.
On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
He said, on these two commandments, that's what we, this whole book is based on that. This is what real charity is. It's about the fact that that love for the Father, if that is supposed to be priority number one, the relationship between each other, that's supposed to be priority number two, if not priority number one. That's it. You, the Most High, like, you can't have a relationship with me and don't have it with your brother. The Most High, it's impossible because both of them are just as important in the eyes of the Father.
You can't have a relationship with your brother and then don't love God. Like, you know, I love my family and everyone, but, you know, God wants God. But I love my family, though.
Most of them, no, you don't. I love the Most High, but you, I can stand you. Father, like, you have your priorities mixed up. Mm-hmm. You really don't understand what truly is about. Read on. Or verse that?
Verse 40.
Go ahead. Keep reading.
While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, which think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David.
No, I'm sorry. Verse 40. I just want to verse 40.
Yeah, verse 40. Yeah.
And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This whole book was based around that.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't really be following the Bible. You have not picked up the concept that the relationship between you and the Father and the relationship between you and your people or you and your brother, those go one in one, hand in hand. You can't have a relationship with the Father without having a relationship with your brother. You can't tell you have a relationship with him, but you ain't got a relationship with the Father. They go together. You can't have one without the other. So this was showing the backbone and the ground of what charity is. Everything that we do is teaching you how to love your brother. Everything that you go through, all the sacrifices that you make, is teaching you how to love it, how to love the people that you work with every day, how to love the people that you're around every day. I got to learn how to love my neighbor. The neighbor is the person that is next door to you every day. Your neighbor, person that sits across the seat every day. It's a commandment for me to do what? To love him or love them. You know what I'm saying? Look out for their well-being. Be there for them. As we keep reading these scriptures, we're going to really realize the definition, according to the Bible, of what loving your brother really is, or that neighbor. What does it mean to love your neighbor? From there, go to Proverbs, or Ecclesiastes, in the Ecclesiastes, in the Apocrypha, chapter 12. Okay. Ecclesiastes chapter, you got another reader? No, son? Or am I whoever? 12?
Okay,
now son, you up? Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. You're going to read down to verse 7.
When thou wilt do good, know to whom thou doest.
He said, when you do good, you better know who you're doing it to. Right? So if I'm going to do good, who am I supposed to be doing good to? The scripture called him who?
Your neighbor.
And I like this because you know what? We'll go, well, do good to the godly man. Well, if he's your neighbor, if you ain't doing right by him, you're just as ungodly as he is. If you got the Bible and you're basing your godliness based on the fact that you know scripture, the picture's no scripture. Satan is no scripture. Satan is no scripture. So that way I thought the book don't really make me godly. But the Most High gauges that based off of the good that you show, because that's what this chapter is about. The character of this person. You're supposed to that. I'm gauging the relationship. Read that again.
Well, now, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. When thou wilt do good, know to whom thou doest.
Read on.
So shalt thou be thanked for thy benefits.
He said, you're going to be thanked for what?
Thy benefits.
For what you've given. For what you've done. Everything you have, you're going to be thanked for what you've done. Read on.
Do good to the godly man, and thou shalt find recompense.
You're going to find a what?
A recompense.
What does the word recompense mean?
Payback. Reward.
Payback. What's what? Nice. Now, I love this. Because remember, we're going through this and we're finding out But we're also finding out if that treasure, how do you collect on the treasure that's in heaven? To what? Wow. So to make amends, to make a what? To make a return, to compensate, right? To what?
It's a return of an equivalent of anything given, done, or suffered.
Damn. So it's equal. So what you suffered, you get paid back the equal amount of what you suffered, right? What you gave, you're going to be given an equal amount of what you gave, right? What was the other one? Whatever you've done, you get an equal amount of what you've done. So the Father's looking at it like this. He said, do good, because for all the good you do, guess what happens? Right. The Most High, like, this was, I'm a compensate. That's it. What's the word? I'm going to compensate you. So there you go. If you suffered, I'm going to give it, I'll make it worth your while. If you lost, I'm going to make it worth your while. If it looks like you're catching the bad end of this, I'm going to make it worth your while. So the Father said, do good to the godly man. Go ahead.
Do good to the godly man, and thou shalt find recompense.
Read on.
And if not from him.
Read it again.
Yes. And if not from him.
And if not from that man, if this person that made you suffer left and can't give nothing back to you, this person you sacrificed and did for him, he gone. He can't. He has nothing to give. In most of the cases, when you do good for somebody, I did good. Why? Because you didn't have. Number one, you didn't have. So I looked out because you didn't have. I knew you weren't going to be able to pay me back. Right. So I'm like, you know what? Right. And you know what we do like that? When we do it like, I'm doing good to this godly man. And I like what Scripture is saying too. If I do good to a godly man, let me go for myself. Let me go work on my righteousness. So when I'm down and I'm suffering, what is the Most High going to do? But you know, I like how he comes through. He sends somebody that can do what? That can help you. Just like when that person was down. When you were down, for example, if you were down, and the Most High sent me, the Most High sent me for a reason. If I had to cut bill and help him, that's what I was supposed to do. I was supposed to help. Because at one point, the Most High don't send somebody around you. They're going to be down, and what is the Father going to be? Do good to that godly man. Understanding that if you do good to them, who's going to take care of you? He will. Because you can look at the person that came up to you and was like, man, you know what? I ain't going to lie to you. Ain't no way I'm getting you back to all that shit for me. I don't got it. I'm barely on my feet. But you know what you start watching? You start watching the Father do this. Man, he's coming up. Damn. Yeah.
Yeah.
You said they ain't never going to pay for it. They don't pay for the diapers. They ain't going to pay for the food. They ain't going to pay for the late nights. They ain't going to pay for nothing that they've done. You get no reward back. Yeah, listen, no, it'll be, that's a perfect point. But the whole time you did right, the Father was blessed. The Father blessed. And you're right, it may get to the point that, damn, they got old. But you got old, and all that you invested in, they came back and did what now? They were there for you. But most people that go out and live their life a while and do everything, they don't believe they're going to get old. Until they get old.
That's the way.
Then that investment that you were supposed to put in, so when you're looking for it to come back, it don't come back because the Father's trying to show you, even in relationship and friendship, why? You are going to stumble at one point. You are going to suffer at one point. So if you don't invest in those relationships, right, when it's time and you need, you didn't do what the Bible says. The Most I told you who to do good to.
Well, that's not for any names, but an example is you grow 70 years old
and you have a whole family that you neglected your whole entire life, pretty much. And then when you're 70, needing help at a nursery home, that's like, now nobody's there around you. So now you're kind of just there existing. Nobody's there around you. The ones you could have made, you didn't make them. So
you waiting to go to you miserable. Because you know what? When you're 70 and you can't, you getting treated bad. No, you really get treated bad in nursing home. Right. I'm trying to tell you, man. You're like popping them in the head. And, right. Pushing on yourself. Like, oh, that was so cruel. You're like, yeah, you're like, you know what they think? This ain't my parents. This ain't my family. And right, and you know who gets picked on the worst? The ones who ain't got no family. I got nobody to defend, but the most I look at is saying, and then you know what you start realizing? That's a person that, it wasn't even the fact that I have it here back. The father didn't bless me and this and that because the only person I looked at was for me. My whole focus is about me. But the father showing us in the Bible, he said, to do good to the godly man, and said, and you will get recompense. If not from him, I'm just come in. He said, from who? What you going to say?
I'll say Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. The two are better than one because they have the reward for their labor.
There you go.
Where they fall, the one will lift up his fellow.
So we read it. We read it where? Ecclesiastes in the Bible, right?
Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Verse
the rest of the Bible. This is
the one that is alone, be fallen.
There you go. So you're looking and showing when you on your own and you find out now, how did I get alone? Right. Instead of doing what the Father said for me to do and work on developing that relationship, be there to have that person. If the Father put that person in that, it could be something simple as a ride. The most I put that person in my life, if they needed me to be their ride, then I'm going to be the damn ride. There you go. The Father's going to put somebody in your life, then what? It's going to be there for you the same way. You may not be able to repay them with a ride.
Don't give someone a ride. Don't
let your car break down. What are you doing this? Got gas money? If I don't got a ride, I probably don't got gas money. Matter of fact, come on, man. Maybe I'm saving up for a ride. So if you cut me a break and give me a chance to get here, in all of it, man, in all of the most times looking and saying, you know what? It's how we dealing. We deal with an expectation of a reward from that person to pay me back. And the Father sitting there saying, no, that is not where the reward comes, man. Stop just coming the fact that this person is going to pay me back. But the one thing that being in the world, you know what our treasure is? All we operate in treasure is selfishness, man. It's that selfishness that we treasure. But the Father's like, if you want me to be there for you, I'm going to show you the keys to how I'm there for you and what's valuable in my eyes. Read on, read it again. What verse you at?
Verse 3, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 3 in the Bible.
Uh-huh.
There can no good come to him that is always occupied in evil.
He said, can no good come where?
To him that is always occupied in evil.
Well, you got to look at it. So then even that lack of relationships, the Father look at that as something that's evil. How we treat each other. If we don't do that right, the Father's still looking at what? That is evil.
It'd be kind of like you said earlier, like, oh, I'm going to do me, but I'm a Muslim on time, but not you.
Right. Or you be like that church mentality. Yeah, I love the Lord, but I got to, I do me. But the most of them, ain't no good coming to this person always occupied in evil. He said, we read it. He said, no good can come to them. What verse is that?
Verse 2.
Is read 2?
Yeah. You want me to read?
Read 2 again.
Do good to the godly man, and thou shalt find a recompense.
Uh-huh.
And if not from him, yet from the Most High.
Read on.
There can no good come to him that is always occupied in evil.
They have negative thoughts. Had a negative outlook, bitter, I'm angry. It ain't no good coming to you. You're in the wrong mind frame. This is the environment that you live in. You occupy yourself in that. This is the environment. This is, I surround myself. I have negative around me. Ain't no good coming. So I'm more tired. Why is that? Ain't no good coming to me. I'm not catching a break. Because I've allowed, this is what, this is the circle I'm around. This is where I'm occupying myself. And all I do is make excuses to stay in this environment.
Nor to him that giveth no alms.
Nor to him that does what?
Giveth no alms.
That means I didn't help anyone. We'll keep going. Okay, now I got you. But my time, we can keep going. It'll be good. Bring it on.
Give to the godly man.
He said, give to who?
Give to the godly man.
And I like him. But we got to look up alms real quick.
Okay.
This is a good definition, man. Look up alms. If you got a good one, I don't get it.
Now, let's just 1828 has where you're going to finish the
problem,
but.
Yeah, you
got it. He said, no good will come to a person that's occupied evil. He's breaking laws, but the most I said also, ain't no good will come to somebody who don't give alms, right? Who got a good definition for alms? Anything doing what?
Give graciously to relieve the poor.
So, he said, okay. Right, that's it. What you got? But I like Jarvis. Because alms is charity. That means somebody had less than I did, and I did what? I looked out for them. I gave. The most, That's it, graciously, yeah. It was almost an honor for me to do this for you, right? It wasn't a burden.
Let me go again.
Every time you come around, you know, you, well, what you get a job or something? You got to do better than this, man. Every time you come around, you got your hand out. That's not gracious, right? I'm looking at this like a burden. Most are like, nah, real charity. As I gave to the poor gracious, it was an honor for me to do this for you. For me to relieve, to make it easier on you, that's an honor. I'm proud to do that. Oh, yeah, there we go. Find that. So you're going to realize, so we putting what alms are, right? Somebody get a recording down, man. We need about 4 scriptures on alms. So that was one. Who read that? That was your one about alms, right?
Because alms is the one of death.
Come up here and tell me where you at.
Tobit.
Tell me, where you going? Yeah. Yeah.
Tobit in the Apocrypha 4, verse 10.
To Tobit chapter 4, verse 10. 9 and 10?
Well,
9 and 10. Read it. Go ahead.
For thou layest up a good treasure for thyself against the day of necessity.
Hold up. Now we get that treasure. Then we started out.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to put it together. We're finding out how I lay up that treasure, right? Where the Most High said to lay up treasures in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
How do I lay up the treasure in heaven? How do I lay up a treasure against the day of what?
Necessity.
Necessity is what you need. How do you lay up a treasure for the – this is powerful. Because you think about this. That means there's going to be a point that you'll get hit in your life that you're going to what? You're going to need. So how do you lay up – how do you store up for that day that you need? Read.
Because the alms do deliver from death.
Read 9 again.
Verse 9, for thou layest up a good treasure for thyself against the day of necessity.
Uh-huh.
Verse 10, because that alms do deliver from
because
death. Alms do deliver
because
from death.
Because your what?
Because your charity do deliver
right.
from death.
Because your alms, because what's alms again?
Giving graciously.
Giving, because your giving graciously did what?
Saved you from death.
It delivered you from death.
And suffer not to come into darkness.
And it suffered you not to do what?
Come into darkness.
You was gonna fall in that dark place. The Most High wasn't gonna let you fall in that dark place. But what saved you from falling in that dark place? The fact that you, it was an honor for you to give.
Most high,
it's like somebody getting over, right? Can you get over somebody who was giving?
No.
It's kind of stupid. I got over on him.
I already gave it.
You didn't get over on me. I was already giving it, man. You didn't, matter of fact, you didn't even have to work that hard. If I was already trying to give it, well, man, you know what? Man, he is suffering, man.
His
kindness is weakness. You know what I like? That whole time, that was a person who was my friend. I was giving it anyway. Everything I did, it was about honoring you. So how can you get over when I was, you look stupid. It's like stupid. It's like, I'm laughing. It's like you put $20 on the table. I put $20 for you. For you. And you walk around doing this. Right. You stole what I was already I had already given it to you. I gave it to you graciously. I mean, I wanted to help you out. Now all of a sudden you think you're stealing from somebody who's already given it. But the most I'm looking at, if I understand why I'm doing it, right? We don't read it, but I said, if I can understand why I'm doing it and who's favor I'm trying to get good in. It's script up. You look at even the government, right? Biden, you know how Biden gonna be office for like the next two terms? If he could do three, he'd be there. But do you know why he's gonna be there for two terms? Because you're damn right. Give stimulus checks. Biden has single-handedly. Trump was trying to do it. It just happened too late in what he was doing. Hell yeah. Man, if Trump was giving stimulus checks in the beginning, hell yeah, he was saying everybody would be like, that's Trump. Trump giving out their money. But he's doing it now. Man, everybody like, damn. He was hurting, man. Biden really came through. When the country was hurting, Biden was giving them checks. But you know what I like about it? You look at it, even they understand that. They understand, I want your favor by what? But the father like, man, you know what? We win the Father's favor by what we do in honor for that righteous man, or that poor person that needed that help. I love what we read. We don't be quick to bend over backwards for somebody wicked. And the Father, like, no. Yeah, I'll go by this change. You know why? Because I think that's a good thing. And I'm going to turn around and go buy some dope.
Let someone ask for a dollar to get a soda.
But you don't know. We'll turn on that person that is trying to go to work every day. And when I drive by and I could have given a ride, I left them on the bus to go and do their thing. Or that person that I watch working with me, and I'm sitting there eating a whole lunch. And they working as hard as I work. They're in there sweating like I'm sweating. And I won't do this. Hey, you want to water? You want to have a sandwich, man?
Yeah.
Man, you know, you're right. Hey, like kids do. A kid can be in a lunchroom, right? You know what kids will do? I see another kid that's sitting there that he ain't, my lunch is, my mama don't fill this lunch pile up. Chips and cookies and carrot bites. And everybody got one of their friends. You're like, I came from the hood. We didn't have no. We had free lunch. God said, man, they still have lunch. We had a lunch pail. We had free lunch. He's like, man, that's really good. The free lunch is nasty. Well, his mama had the tuna sandwiches, the corn, the hot sauce. He had peanut butter and jelly. He's like, peanut butter and jelly. I'm like, we could afford peanut butter and jelly. If we did, there was no bread. That was snack after school. You made a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. They take it to lunch. Then they get home to dinner. We had no hot dogs and ramen noodles. That might have been dinner. But you had that kid that saw you at school. He became your friend because he was always kind of hooking you up, looking out for you, the whole nine. But he did it honorably. He liked you, man. So I did you right because it was the right thing to do. Then we become adults and we turn to shit. You know, language is babies in the room. You know what I'm saying? We turn to monsters, man. We become the most selfish people. We even become selfish to our own. So even where it was like, man, you know what? I have an opportunity to provide a good life for my family. I'll shit on it. All because I can. Because all I care about is me. Or that opportunity, I had an opportunity to, you know, I got up in the morning and I got him a ride. You know what I make sure I do? Make sure I get out of here before he get up. So I got to give him a ride. Who does all that? I don't know, you should have got up, man. Listen, come on. You're a grown man like I'm a grown man. I'm going to slip out. Oh, we on the truck driving. I'm going to eat this food right in front of us. Anyone who stops at the gas station, and a burrito costs $3. And I paid $10 for it. But I hear it. Like, shit. I eat this whole damn thing down, throw the wrapper on, and I'm going to throw the wrapper on the floor so you can see it. You're a grown like, man, like I'm a grown man. I never once thought, you know, it would have been an honor for me to hook him up.
What about vice versa? I got a big engineer that he eats my chips.
You know what it is? Maybe he eats them chips. I can't be mad because, you know what, probably mad refrigerator. Everybody didn't experience that. They didn't experience the water gone. Somebody that had the juice they juiced. It was 4 hours, did it with the three. What was you saying? It's all good because if it goes off, you guys just keep talking. It'll be good to go. But the point we're making is that this is the most high looking engagement. Mm-hmm. If that charity is there, or what we just read charity was, but it's the gracious, I graciously give to the poor. That person don't have what I have, and it's for me, it's an honor to make sure he has. It is what charity is about. That's next. Keep reading. Where we at?
We're at.
There we go. In the we were in the popcorn, right? We're at 12 and 3.
Yep. We have 12 verse 3.
Oh no, yeah, we read. Who else had the arm scripture? That's what I was reading, right?
Yeah, October 8.
Where's the other one? Okay, come on up. Come on up. Wait, yeah. If you keep going, they don't need it. For a second. Your scripture's right here. And this is all about alms. Every time we read alms, somebody's reading the definition, right? Okay, go ahead.
Proverbs chapter 12, verse 9.
Uh-huh.
I got Proverbs chapter 12, verse 9.
Go ahead.
It says, for alms, you deliver from debt.
So what are alms again? Definition.
Anything given graciously to relieve the poor.
He says, so what's going to relieve me from debt? That means somebody, I gave graciously. That was an honor for me to give. My honor in giving to the poor, to help somebody else that don't have, that's what's going to relieve me from debt. Go ahead.
Debt.
Uh-huh.
Shall purge away all
sin. It shall purge away what?
All sin.
Yeah.
Come on,
man. So this is about, that if you're going to get a relationship with the Father, if you're going to get the Father to stop looking at you as a sinner, what is one way you can get the Father to stop looking at you as a sinner? You take care of the people, man. I'm going to take care of a person that's less fortunate than me.
My neighbor is less fortunate than me.
If my neighbor, beautiful point. my neighbor is less fortunate than me, if my brother is less fortunate than me, is less fortunate than me, the Father's looking at, so if the more I make sure I give to you, or I make sure I take care of you, that is what the Father says, okay, you know what? I'm cleaning your slate. There you go. You score points with the Father. You're storing up a treasure. Because I was there doing for somebody who was less fortunate than me. Well, I'm looking out for my family. I look out for mine. So if you run into a problem where you become less fortunate, you ain't using wisdom. Or you're wicked. And I'm wondering why the Father ain't blessed me. Because everything I do, I'm not doing it in the spirit of I'm looking out for someone who may be just less fortunate than I am. But we read in the secrets. This is the Father's words, ain't mine. I come from the same world y'all come from. You better get out and get on your own. You a man like I'm a man. You better go out there and get it. But and you know what's sad, too? Now, you know what I like about this, man? The most I have a system where it's a check and balances, right? Because you could be up 1 minute, going to work, doing your thing, and all of a sudden you have a stroke. You don't have a stroke that kills you. You just have a stroke where you can't move around. So you out of commission. Or you break your foot. Or you wreck your car. Or you get sick, and now you have pneumonia, and you've been in the hospital for 2 weeks. And your job is to get a letter and say, oh, you know what, we had to replace you, man. You know what, it was a vital job. We had the choice. You know, maybe you can come back and apply. We put you on the list, and because of your experience, you know, when we have an opening, you'll be the first one we call.
Oh,
all of a sudden, you like this now. Man, what do I do?
Mm-hmm. And Jews. Betting all your cards.
Well, yeah, you put your investment into that job, but what you didn't do is build that treasure where. So how do I build a treasure in heaven? I give what? Well, you know, we so dumb. Half the time we think giving alms is I gave money to the camp. Well, I gave my tithes. I made sure that not even my tithes. When you gave tithes, your tithes is supposed to benefit who? It was supposed to benefit the poor. We used to take care of the people. But even in my giving, it still was based around what? And taking care of the people that couldn't take care of themselves. So the Father, again, when you gave alms, man, I came in, I bought a $12,000 computer for the camp. So we can do cable shows so we get the word out. Beautiful. That helped get the word out. But that ain't alms. You help get the word out. But true alms would have been what? Now, if that computer's being used, the teacher's going out, people getting help, and they coming in, and we're sitting here, we built something for the people out there to come into that they can get taught. They can get help. Now we give it all. We give it all. If it don't help anybody, it's not alms.
Trying to be looked at
like. That's like I said, man. I need a jet. I need a camp to give me a jet, and it costs $40,000 to fuel this jet. That's it. Matter of fact, I need to make a spiritual pilgrim or a spiritual retreat to the motherland so that I can get baptized in the Jordan so that, you know, I can truly be that spiritual leader that y'all need. All right. And you better take this $500 ticket and take your ass up from there. And you better go dunk in this bathtub.
How are
you? Now, that, and you know what's crazy? That's what the churches do. The preacher needs a jet. He got to go do the ministry. You know what we do? Hold on, we'll go back to it. That retreat will be what I use to say, well, you got to give your tithes and your alms for that. But the Most High is showing us a person that's truly giving alms is looking out for who? The poor. The person that was less fortunate. Because at one point, when I become, I'm in that position to be less fortunate. The Most High has somebody to end up doing it for me, giving alms. It was an honor for them to help me. It had to have been an honor for me to have helped them. But we make the same mistake that the churches do. We look down on the poor people that come into the congregation. We sit and we praise the preacher up in the pulpit. Preacher showed it, preach a great sermon. He come around, we lay the red carpet out for him. Like, how you ain't got a job and you driving a Rolls Royce or a Bentley? Mm-hmm. A Bentley? How the hell you get a Bentley on no job? It sounds crazy, though, but it happened. That's it. But now all of a sudden the Most High is looking at it the same way. I can become a paid entertainer if I'm not doing what? If we ain't helping nobody, if we're not helping the ones that are less fortunate. That's what this is about. We're reading what the Father is looking at as a treasure, that this is the thing, you doing this is what you need, I'll have your back. You believe what you want, but it's the Bible we read. So read all this again.
Proverbs chapter 4, verse 9.
Read it.
For alms, you deliver from death.
Go ahead.
And shall purge away all sin.
Go ahead.
Those that exercise alms.
Those that do what?
Those that exercise alms.
Those that exercise what, sir?
Alms.
What's alms again?
Anything given graciously to relieve the poor.
You memorized that already?
Sorry.
That's all it was, right? Being given graciously to relieve the poor?
All charity.
So if I'm charitable and I'm focused on doing something to help make it easier on a person that's less fortunate than me, what does that do?
Exercise all.
Uh-huh.
And righteousness.
And what?
And righteousness.
So alms, taking care of the poor, is a part of what? It's right. Listen, it's right next to righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
That's just as important as keeping the law. That's as important as the teaching. It's as important as getting the word out. It's just as important as not eating pork, wearing fringes, out on the Sabbath day. The whole nine. There you go. And I love what you're saying. You did right, Tyler. You're right on point. When you're in a problem, I get what you said. When it's about you, you'd be the first to do what? Look out for yourself. So he said to love your neighbor the same way you do yourself. So just like when you go up to something, you quick to look out for you. The Father expects you to do what? Be just as quick to look out for them. And love thy neighbor as thyself. Same way you look out for you, you should be quick to look out for that person. If you don't want to walk, what makes you think he didn't want to walk? If you was hungry and you had to pull your left out, what makes you think he wasn't hungry? You got to give him what you would give you. The same way you would do for you, do for him. If it's in your power.
And righteousness shall be filled with life.
They'll be filled with what?
Life.
But what did the Most High tell you about? Where do we get life from? The commandments, he said, we get, right, so you're going to be filled with life, huh? You stay blessed because the thing that you have, it's like I said, you have a lifeline. The Most High is always there for you. He's always there for you. Because the Most High looking at, and you look at now, you can tell how wicked the world is. But this world where we live in is so wicked, we don't even give a damn about ourselves. I'll destroy myself. I don't give a damn about nobody. I don't give a damn about nobody out there, nobody's condition. I don't even give a damn about myself. I'll destroy myself. It don't make no difference. So I am loving my neighbor like I love me. You don't. But that is what the world is built. The world is built selfish people that don't even love it, that are self-destructive. I'm so self-destructive, I couldn't help anybody anyway. You know, I deserve that. I'm in the condition I'm in. I deserve it. Only I'm saying I deserve it. And I'm going to get y'all. Wait, I want to say this. I want y'all to understand. Whenever I teach, I never attack. Never attack. If I'm attacking, I'm attacking me with anybody. Because these spirits hit everybody. It is easy to have that attitude like, man, fuck that, I'm looking out for me. And I'm on the air and I'm trying not to cuss. But y'all know, we come from a world where that is the mindset. Look out, take care of number one. Take care of number one. Only problem with that is when number one don't have, number one suffering. And the one thing I'm showing y'all is that number one, no love for us. So look how we eat. Look how we put in our body. Look at our condition. You can tell even number one ain't cared about number one. Well, let me say, I'm going to get you in. But I want y'all to understand something. When you dumb enough to fool yourself to think that you're righteous, you're right in the eyes of the Most High, you know what the Most High call that? Pride. That has got to be the greatest arrogance in the world. You close your eyes every night thinking that what you're doing is right, convincing yourself how you living and what you're doing, there ain't nothing wrong with it. I'm right. That's arrogance. I know the Father should take care of the poor, but I'm looking out for me. And then I'm going to call myself a prophet, a priest. I'm going to call myself a righteous man of the Most High. I'm a damn lie. That's the greatest pride you could ever have, is denial. I live in denial like this shit's okay. This is what this has been. And I'm also a pride thought before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. I'm reading what's wrong, and I still get up and justify it. I'll still do the exact same thing that I just read was wrong. That is the problem with Israel. That really is the problem with Israel, right? That's been our problem. Is that I live in denial. I think I'm getting over it. The Moses said he's not mocked. Whatever a man sow. So if you've been selfish, what are you going to get? Selfishness. People around you are selfish. Doors don't open. If you neglect shit, nobody's going to neglect you. If you don't give a damn about nobody but yourself, then when you fall, ain't nobody giving a damn about you. Because the whole time, everything you've been doing has been only to benefit you. You can look at it, man. You can look at it, man. You know what? You can walk into a house and you're like, man, motherfucker, you spent 500 grand on a kitchen table that you brought over from Italy that you don't even sit on it. Come on. You bought a $50,000 vehicle that only five people can fit in. No, I'm sorry. You bought a $50,000 vehicle that only two people can fit in. You bought a $100,000 vehicle. You bought a Bugatti. That motherfucker is close to $100 million, $1 million, $500,000. Huh? But what is it? What is that, man? No, I know what it is, but what is that mindset? It's selfishness, right? Who can only two people get fit in it? family or whatever. Like, but right now, all of us are thinking about is who. But, you know, but I'm going to show you this. When you fall, you're angry because the people around you, don't nobody want to help you. And that's the Most High's trying to tell you. Whatever a man sow, that's what he going to reap. So if that is the attitude that you build, that is the attitude that's going to be used against you. Come on. What did you say? That's it. I'm always trying to see what I can get. No extortioner is going to enter into the kingdom. That's it. But it's beautiful because you see, you're starting to understand that. Extortion, if I'm just trying to use you, all I did was push myself more away from the fun. Right, because the Most I wasn't looking at who you could get over on. He was looking at who you help. You still ain't sin. You ain't cleaned up nothing. There's nothing that might they come back and say, you know what? Well done, man. You a hustler, baby. Well, I want you to kind of come figure. I want you to know. You know where you been? Is where you're about to go. Shit. Come on, man. That's all we get on the Jay-Z song. Cuz look at you like, you was a wicked and slothful servant. Then you understand that the expectation was for you to take care of the poor of your people. When I gave it to you, it was supposed to be your honor to take care of them. That's what this is about. Let's finish up. Go to arms real quick.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. They're going to be filled with life. Go ahead.
But they that sin are enemies.
Now, Tom, what sin is he talking about? Extortion. Because the opposite of alms is what? Right. The opposite of giving, taking. The opposite of alms, extortion. And what is extortion?
Extortion is even to know that.
Read it. Read it. Now read that. Read extortion. And then give me the two scriptures on extortion. Are we still on Zoom? Nelta?
It says Ezekiel 22, verse 12.
You got Ezekiel what? So I got Ezekiel 22 and 12. And Matthew 23 and 25 for extortion, right? Good. Now, who got a definition of extortion? So extortion would be I intimidate, force, or threaten you. If you don't give, you gotta get out. Mm-hmm. What is that?
Extortion.
Extortion. Huh? Yeah, if you ain't gonna provide, you gotta step. If you don't come work for me, then you ain't serving the Most High, you're wicked, and you gotta get the hell up out of here. What is that? Extortion, please?
23 verse. I'm sorry.
Read how the Father feels about extortion. I want the Bible. If you got to get that definition, keep reading it. But it's okay. Read it. He said destruction unto you. Slide the Pharisees. Go ahead. Hypocrite.
So you may clean the outside of the cup.
Hold on. You might wear the right garment. You dress the part. You don't clean the outside of the cup. You got the fool decked out. you got it looking good in here. You got the $100,000 shoe.
But within.
But with what?
But within.
Uh-huh.
They are full of extortion.
They are full of what?
Extortion.
My whole program is built on what? Taking from you. Controlling you. Making you feel like if you don't give to me or if you don't work for me, you ain't right. If you don't provide, if you don't come in and you don't I'm even going to call you giving to me the work of the Most High. And the Most High, like, wait a minute. His work wasn't you giving him. You working for me wasn't the work of the Most High. We're reading the work of the Most High was what? Helping the poor. Actually, if I was really doing the work of the Most High, people that came in that needed, I'd make sure they're taken care of. I'd make sure I looked out for them. That's how I know I'm doing the work of the Most High. But if everybody that come in is less fortunate, and they stay less fortunate, and you convincing them that they sacrifice the Most High out of your sacrifice. How the Most High honor their sacrifice? But you said, you like you sacrificed anything. You got more to give.
Sacrifice, how much it is.
Well, right. That was my sacrifice. Yeah, see, I already did that. I was already where you was at. I was where you was at. One time, I was like you. I didn't have nothing, and I sacrificed that. And I was giving. I did the work of the Most High. And I put my time in. Now I got this $100 car. I got me a brand new truck. So if you gonna sacrifice, and you put your time in, you will have that truck too. That's a hustle, man.
It's a pyramid
scheme. Good.
They have a whole bunch of
Look it up. Look it up, Exodus.
Too much.
Ezekiel 22, right? You got 22 and 12? Oh, you've got to read that one.
If he have, Ezekiel 22, verse 12. If he have a taking gift to shed blood, thou hast taken.
Hold on. What happened?
It says, if he have a taking gift to shed blood.
He said, in thee, in your name, Yahweh, they did what? They took gifts and destroy you. They to destroy people. So it's like, also the God came to the money. I got actually, man, I was scared. God could get a ride to save his life, but he came with $100,000. You got $100,000? Shit. That's my family right here, man. What you need, dog? We gonna come up, baby. What you mean? Come on, you know I always had your back. You know I always had your back. Even when you was on the street, I had your back. I prayed for you, man. But that is the attitude that we take. I don't have the same consideration for you when you didn't have. But until now, you got something I need. Something I need you to give to me. Something I need you to do for me. Good, I'm glad you're coming up. Something I need you to do for me. Now, all of a sudden, I need you to get that. And I don't care about what cost it puts you in. I don't care about what condition it leaves you in. This is about what you can do for me, not what I can do for you. That ain't the Bible. Read that again.
Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 12. In thee have they taken gifts to shed blood.
In thee, in your name, Yahweh.
Verse 11. And one hath committed abomination with his neighbor's wife.
Read that again. Read what?
In thee have they discovered their father's nakedness. In thee have they humbled her that was set apart.
I got to go there for a minute. I need to know who they're talking about. Who is the thee that they're talking about? Tell me. Ezekiel chapter what? 22? 1 second, let me look at it real quick, man. 22, because this is a good point in it.
The word of the Most High came unto me, saying, now thou son of man, without judge the bloody city.
Beautiful, Lord. That's where we needed to start.
Yea, thou shalt show her all her abominations.
Most of I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you something about Israel. I'm going to show. We have to be shown our abomination. What is the abomination to the Father? That's what we're reading about. I'm talking loud because I'm like, this is what we should have been on in the first place. We have so many bitter people, even the truth among us, because half the things that we were doing, you weren't considering that you were tearing this other person down just for you to get some type of honor and glory. Look at the condition that you left these people in, or this person. I go here because I always sit like this. As being a head over camp for 20 years, I can look and say, damn, I had a lot of pride. Because when you close your eyes in your comfortable home, knowing that your brother condition ain't that good and he ain't comfortable, arrogance and pride, right? We so arrogant and proud, we think we don't know. Everybody coming to the truth is trying to get rank so that they can now do what they think they saw somebody else do. I'm going to come in, I'm going to teach, get rank. I can sit up in a big house and I can tell people what to do. Like, that's what the truth is about. That's the point. And you know what we didn't understand? That when we first came to the truth, they were great men. That the camp did take care of them. Like a road, so I'm gonna use an example. I'll be like the Shaba or Ariel and them when they were on the road, and they had left their homes and everything else. There were a lot of sacrifices that were made to get them what they needed, so they could go to these other states and spread the truth. Not one time did any of the things go to their home. Y'all ain't heard about what? I think about the other day. I met a body. I remember the shopper going to Miami. I was in Miami, head over to Camp General. He had a little apartment. It was a little two-bedroom. And it was just him and Rib. I remember the body of the baby. There was no mansion. I've never been to Ariana's mansion. It went from that, where people were giving, to make sure that these brothers will still continue to be able to go out and spread that truth. Mm-hmm. That's a righteous reason to give. Because people that were out there were really getting help. Then it went to that stage of brothers that was living in the city. And all of a sudden, you're looking, man, these houses, this thing is getting bigger and bigger. How the hell is his house getting big? But mine is out. Ain't I doing the same work of the Most High that he's doing? But what we'll be taught is, well, you got to use wisdom, or you got to cultivate your rib. Your rib wasn't supposed to. That ain't your rib that did that. Your rib worked a job like my rib worked a job. You know, I'm cooking this economy. You can have a degree in everything. Your job may be, you may be making good money if you make $3 an hour out here. That ain't mansion money. Pay for the type of money where you can go every other year and go buy you a bigger this, or you use the camp money to invest into a business that benefits you. That's what the scriptures are calling extortion. I looked out for somebody who was less fortunate than me. What did you say, Alta?
1-4.
What does it say?
Is it time for you, O you, to dwell in your field house? And this house lying waste? So you're sitting up in your house. But your brother is.
That's on that line. It really is. You know the field houses? Your house decked out. You really focused on decking your house out. A field house, looking for a field, it means you put the crown molding in, man. You put the big chandelier. You really, you decked it out. But your brother's house is black. Good point. He got a ceiling. You got a ceiling, he don't. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. But even you watch some of the Israelites around you, if we are the Most High's house, if we as people, how are they laughing? How are they going to waste? And you have all this, and you sitting in it like everything is good. That's what you're going to read. Let's go back to the sources now. Good point. Where you at?
Ezekiel 22, verse 12.
Uh-huh.
If ye have they taken gifts to shed blood.
Read.
Thou hast taken usury.
Thou hast taken what?
Usury.
Thou hast taken usury. He said, you took usury? Usury. Oh, there we go. Where my dictionary man at? What's usury? You took gifts to shed blood. You took usury.
And increase.
What is usury? What do we increase? It's like I gave my stuff a raise. You know what, man? I've been doing that. But I'm sacrificing, man.
A usury is.
I'm sacrificing, man. I built this because I built this. I deserve more.
Mm-hmm. The illegal action of or practice of lending money.
Hold on. What is usury?
Or practice of lending money at unreasonably high rates of interest.
Listen, even what I do for you, I'm expecting what I expect back is greater than what the hell I just gave you. You know what, man? I gave you a closet, but I expect you to give your life up and dedicate to making sure that you're going to work for me. You got a closet, but you're going to go work for me, and I'm going to get rich. You won't come in here and work for donations. Then let me tell y'all, how many tips you make today? You know why you ain't made no tents? Because you ain't in the spirit. So now I'm not going to pay you. What I'm going to do is I'm going to teach you how to function a certain way and how to be kind and do this and that so you get tips. And your tip is going to be enough to take care of you. That's how you know the Most High blessing you, all right? The Most High blessing you, all right? That's how you get blessed. That's how you know you're in the spirit. Nigga, you need to get slapped. Hey, let me tell y'all something, Mike. If I ever try to run some dumb shit like that, please slap me. People look at me like, okay. Now you put the most really like, okay, all right. But tomorrow, when we show up at concert, and tomorrow when it's the time to go to work, you're going to be out there giving tips on your own. Because you got that means, but you know how I'm putting that picture? Because you got enough idiots that don't read the Bible that will fall for that same thing. And you got enough wicked men that will capitalize on it because that's what we did. We capitalized on that. And the Most High is sitting back and saying, well, I see that. But you know what? When you thought you was getting over on that brother, that poor person, you know, when you made it, what you gave me and what I expected didn't even go together, man. Everything for the little you gave, look what you expected from me. You expect me to dedicate my whole life, and you gave me this problem. All you gave me was a closet. That's usury.
And thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbor.
And thou have what?
Thou hast greedily.
Thou hast did what?
Greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion. And hast forgotten me, saith the Most High.
That's what I said. You have greedily. You were greedy in gaining from your neighbor.
Of thy neighbor.
Yeah. You were an opportunist. You gained from me. I'm not proud at all, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm looking at, you know, the Most High, I'm looking at this, where we thought we were doing a brother a favor, giving him $1,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
We gave him $1,000 a month and a little closet to sleep in. And we believed that, man, we're doing the work of the Most High. And we told the brother when he wanted more, we told him, you got to go get your rib in order, right? But we still do the same damn thing. But according to the Bible, what is the Father showing? Is it right or is it wrong? Read it.
Verse 13. Behold, therefore, I have smitten my hand at the dishonest gain.
I have did what?
Smitten my hand at the dishonest gain. Oh, smite.
He said, I'm doing it. I have judged the life. This is wrong. The Most High thing is saying, this is wrong. You bit my hand at a dishonest game. That means everything you were doing was dishonest.
Oh, smitten. Struck, killed.
God damn it, this just got to stop. You read? No, read the Bible.
Verse 13. Behold, therefore, I have smitten my hand at thy dishonest gain,
uh-huh,
which thou hast made, and thy blood which hath been in the midst of thee.
The Most I've been looking at the whole time, and I've watched. And I go on, and the people that have been destroyed, he said, I watched it the whole time. I'm tired of it. Now you understand why the Most I was so angry. That's why I shut up down. That's why there's been no growth. We are not supposed to bring people to the truth so I can use them. I'm supposed to bring people to the truth to the what? Help them. Everything I build is supposed to be about what? How can you benefit from what we build?
Let me read down to verse 15.
Go ahead.
It says, verse 14, can thy heart endure or can thy hand be strong in the days that I shall deal with thee?
Why?
I, the Lord,
so, have... So, I look at them reading it. Even if I take myself, was I supposed to get busted? Yes. Why? I'm in a program that's off. It's wrong. It's the wrong way of doing it. And I was taught the wrong way of doing it. It's still wrong. There's no justification for it. When you learn something's wrong, you change it. This is about changing. I'm thankful then. That way, you know what I'm looking at? Now my heart ain't got to condemn me. I have to look in the face and be like, damn, bro. Man, you ain't going to work with a profile. You sacrificed tonight. You dedicated, you sacrificed. Come on, bro. I'm going to make you an officer of 10,000. You're going to have that draft and pass over. I'm going to make you look sharp, man. Because I'd rather dedicate to that. I'm going to give you a prop. I'll give you more rank. Yeah. And the Father looked at the whole time like, Dad, you know what? For everything that I've blessed you with, for everything that was given to the body, you could have did it better. You just chose not to do it that way. That's what we're reading. That's why I like the point. That's what I said. This is not about attacking a camp. It's not about attacking a man. It's a problem. When we read the Bible, we don't realize that the Father has been judging one thing. How did you take care of the poor? That's the same worldly mind frame. You only look after you. Who are you helping? There were opportunities that you could have helped this person, but for whatever reason, you justified not helping. But I help the sinner in a heartbeat. Somebody who don't come to class, I help them. Somebody trying to come to class, I'm helping them. Could they do this? Could they do that? That's what happened.
You love me too, Bob. I love you. You know, if I stand up and salute you, and you come in, I'll
joke you, man. Where are we at? Three.
Okay, so verse 14. It asks, can thy heart endure, or can thy hand be strong in the days that I shall deal with thee?
So you lock on blind. So that means everybody that's in that mind frame, we all end up getting dealt with. If we don't, that's why I'm showing y'all too. This good because it's going to show you what not to be. The Father's going to bless you in your life, but in all your blessings, He's going to look at where your heart is at. Example: Cruz came in with nothing. What was the heart at? When somebody said, "Man, look at this broke ass dude about it."
Yeah, very even super beneficial.
Man, you know what we was doing? You know what happened? The love opened up. We got you. You'll come up with. We got you. That love opened up. You know what I like this? I know his love opened up. But y'all did catching in there. But he got down to Costa Rica and was calling for the scripture. But it wasn't the scripture that got him there, it was the love that got him there. The scriptures would have helped him understand more, but the love that was shown, the most I like, don't worry, I got you, man. You lost that, no problem. I got you, man.
But then even in that, it's not a loss that I was actually this is yeah, the time. I was thinking of loss considering it's actually the fact that I needed it.
Right.
For something like that. If anybody, funnily enough, none of us have went through that, so we're lacking rent. So if anybody were to actually come in here and actually live with us and be actually part of the function that's actually trying to work with us and
right.
What we're doing
right.
As a brother, you know what I mean? Then it's like, you know, of course, yeah, of course we got
it. That's how it is. What happened?
So it says verse 14, and I, the Lord, have spoken it and will do it. And this is verse 15, and I will scatter thee among the heathen and disperse thee in the countries and will consume thy filthiness out of thee.
So, hold up. We're in the condition that we're in as a nation. Why? Because the way we deal, we've been there getting over our people for years.
Okay.
Not just, and I'm saying it, this ain't about what we see now. It's just a cancer. It has not changed.
So I was going to say, going off as an example, how we treat each other and stuff. If we did that way, we would just kind of gain off each other eventually. Like Mosai says, because you're doing this,
we're going to break apart, and then he's going to give us our enemies.
There you go.
We all go our own separate ways to refine whatever we're looking for just to end up in a worse condition because we didn't want to do right and help each other.
Right.
Sure, okay, you don't want to help the brothers that love each other? Okay, no problem. And you got to go into each other. There ain't no way you can be together.
And you know, all
you're
going
to do is you're going to run to people that don't care about you.
And all we're going to keep doing to each other is using each other. I'm going to be figuring out how I can get over on you. I'm going to figure out how I can get over. That is the mind of the world. The world is built on opportunity. That's what capitalism is, right? Everybody in every other country, because you have communism, that's where the people are taken care of, right? Capitalism is where you can be able to get gain and get rich off of doing sacrifices, what they do. But in the Bible, the Most High call that what?
Extortion.
So even in that, the Most High like, this world is going to destroy this place. Because the whole philosophy is built on is that.
He says he's going to consume by filthiness out of it.
That's it, man. So listen, we're not going to do it. We're trying to sin.
That was awesome, dude.
Yeah, listen. We're going to continue doing this. This on our Friday, just getting some of the class time in, so that on Saturday, I'm not Saturday, but on Sunday we do a little more talking, and it'll be good because now on the Saturday everybody can still come to class and learn. And I want this to go a lot more basic too. Tonight that was the topic I was going to, but I think it was blog talk. But I also want it to go basic. I want new people to ask questions, everything else like that, and really. Let's go in this book so we can really grow in understanding and be able to start molding and changing things about us, man. But I want to get everybody out of that. I know we're tired, man. In a long day. Everybody had to work, driving all day or something, man. So with that, we're going to say shalom.